HSN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number two, VSIN Prime Time on a football Friday night, NFL preseason, three games in action. And Will Hill, we got score updates. And how about the Broncos all over the Falcons in Atlanta, 17-0. Jarrett Stidham and the Broncos up big on Atlanta, and Stidham's got a touchdown pass, 8 for 11, 130 yards so far. Tua and Cooper Rush combined 3 for 7 for 22 yards, and Cooper Rush has thrown a pick in that game. So there was early money this week on the Broncos, late money on the Falcons, and so far it's all Denver 17-0. Jets lead the Bucs 10-3. Buccaneers just got a field goal, and Jets have a 3rd and 7 out near midfield with 8.5 minutes to go before halftime. Dolphins up 7-3 on the Commanders early in the second quarter in Washington. Will, I did play the Jets a little bit first half and a little bit game tonight. Jets throw a pick. As I say that, the Buccaneers are going to run it back, I believe, for a pick six. That was a pitiful throw, and now we're going to have a tie game in New York. Bailey Zappe with the throw and the pick six. Buccaneers going to tie up this game. That's what you're going to get with some of these backup quarterbacks and typical Jets. You don't want to lay points with a team like this. But they were up 10-0, and now it's going to be 10-10. You ended up not playing anything in the NFL tonight. How about tomorrow? The Saturday schedule is a big one. I've got a couple of bets tomorrow. How about you on Saturday in the NFL?
Played Minnesota on the money line. Seems like they're going to maybe play their guys a little bit more than the Giants. Laid a cheap money line there. Laid a cheap money line with the Bills. Was able to just get ahead of it. And it's still minus 145, minus 150 or so. I don't like laying those 1.5s, 2.5s in the preseason. We mentioned how these teams like to avoid overtime. And, there's no overtime, but avoid the ties. So better off sometimes just laying the extra juice with the money line. So I'm on the Bills on the money line. I'm on the Vikings on the money line. The one I gave out last Sunday, John Jastrzemski on the weekend morning line, was Browns plus 1.5. I said, I like these teams that first off have a new coach that fits with Todd Monken and have quarterback battles because you get some motivation. You get the two guys usually play. So that one has gone in my favor. Took 1.5. It's now 3.5 the other way. Probably not going to give out both sides of a bet because I don't like doing that, but I might play back a little and just go for a little bit of a middle. I don't know how often you do that. If you get the best of the number, if you just take the best number and stick it in your pocket and hope to win your bet. There's probably smart people on both sides that advocate for doing either one, but those are the ones I'm on tomorrow. Vikings money line, Bills money line, not big bets, but those are ones I'm on. And this just in, Chase Bistonis, the offensive lineman for the Cardinals, second round pick, looks like he's going to need his MCL repaired. He got hurt last night against the Raiders. He is going to miss most, potentially all of the season. That is according to Ian Rappaport. So that Arizona offense looked pretty good last night. Why Jeremiah Love was in for 14 touches, I don't know, but they looked pretty good. I'm somebody that has their underwins. It was making me nervous watching their offense, how good it was, but that's a blow. Anytime you start losing people this early, especially offensive linemen, not what you want. Bistonis for the Cardinals is going to be out. Looks like a good chunk of the season now.
High draft pick for Arizona. Key player on that offensive line. That's a setback for Arizona. I thought the Arizona offense did look great last night. Jacoby Brissett just cut up the Raiders defense. And Gardner Minshew came in and did the same. Brissett looked really sharp. So I know after the Hall of Fame game, there a lot of people said, Carson Beck's got to be the quarterback. And I think it makes more sense to play Carson Beck with an eye toward the future to find out if he can play. But Mike LaFleur is a first-time head coach in Arizona. He certainly wants to win. And I don't think there's any doubt after watching last night that Jacoby Brissett gives the Cardinals the best chance to win right now. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. Yeah. And our producer, Corey, speaking of injury news, Yahoo Sports reporting Marcus Mariota taken to the locker room, the Commanders quarterback, with an apparent non-contact injury versus the Dolphins after a handoff in the first quarter. So, boy, these guys are look, it's football. Players are going to get hurt. We talk about these teams all spring and all summer, Matt, doing these previews when they're in their full form. But it's worth mentioning occasionally, players get hurt, quarterbacks get hurt, key players. We saw Tunsil for the Commanders get hurt. So Mariota, and you never want to see those words, non-contact. Those are dangerous words. So that obviously affects that game from a live betting perspective. He's going to be done. And that's another blow there to Washington. I mean, you hope Daniels plays, so you don't need Mariota. But with Jaden Daniels' history, figure Mariota was probably slated to play a game or two, if not more.
I'm not very optimistic about the Commanders this season either way. But look, Marcus Mariota, if you have a non-contact injury after a handoff, you might be too fragile or too old to be playing pro football. You might want to think about retirement. I think the Sam Howell, Ethan Calliope-Manis quarterback rotation is going to kick in for the Commanders. We'll see how that goes tonight. So, you know, I did consider playing back Cardinals plus three. I had Raiders minus one last night, and I thought, man, there's so much action here on the Raiders. I thought about it, didn't do it. I thought the Raiders should win the game, and I obviously wish I had because the Cardinals controlled that game. After the first Kirk Cousins drive, the Cardinals offense did whatever it wanted to do against that Raiders defense last night. And you can say, well, Max Crosby was not in there, some of the first line guys. There's obvious lack of talent. The scheme was not working, and the Raiders got some problems on defense again. And you can write it off if you're a Raiders loyalist or whatever and say, well, it's only the first preseason game, not a big deal. It's a big deal. The Raiders defense is going to be a problem, and you could see that last night. There's definitely a lack of talent on that side of the ball, and a defensive coordinator looked a little bit lost to me last night as well. All right, so let's move on to the schedule on Saturday. We got seven games. We'll talk about most of these throughout the show tonight, but the one that's drawing the most, I think, attention and probably betting action is Browns-Bears in Chicago. And this line has moved, and the Browns are three-and-a-half-point favorites, total of 40 or 40-and-a-half. Deshaun Watson is going to get to start for the first time since October 2024. That might not necessarily mean the Browns are a bet-on team tomorrow. I don't know what Watson's going to look like in the first half, but Browns are going to play their starters more. Bears have a bunch of injury concerns, and in the second half, you're going to get Shedeur Sanders. Let's hear from Daryl Ryder. He was on the morning show with Super Dave and Jensen. He talked about the Browns quarterback competition being a dead heat going into the first preseason game.
I think that it's a dead heat right now between Deshaun Watson and Shedeur Sanders. Neither one of these guys has separated themselves. And so I think that that's what Todd Monken's looking for, is one of these quarterbacks to separate themselves. And hopefully that happens in a preseason game. Deshaun Watson gets the start tomorrow in Chicago. The following week against the Buffalo Bills, Shedeur Sanders will get the start. He wants to play each of them a half of football. He's hoping for a two-minute situation at the end of the half as well. Obviously, that's outside the control. He can't control the flow of the game there. But that's what Monken is hoping for. Whether or not we see all that remains to be seen. But yeah, there is no winner in this thing. I thought there was a week ago when Monken pulled the old practice change up there. Shedeur was supposed to get the day with the ones, ended up being Deshaun, but Monken just having some fun with everyone. So it's a dead heat, and we're still waiting for a winner. It's been that way since the offseason program began in April.
Daryl Ryder's a Browns beat reporter, and he was on with VSIN by the books this morning. It probably should be a dead heat, considering Watson has not played in so long. Sanders, a second-year quarterback who did not put up good numbers last season, but you know, it makes sense at some point to give him another shot. It's kind of like what's going to be the lesser of two evils. And I think the Browns have so much invested in Deshaun Watson in terms of the bad contract, the trade and the bad contract, that they have to, I think they have to start Watson in week one. Now, I don't know if it'll work out that way, but I think considering how much they invested in Watson, don't you have to give him one more shot, Will?
Might as well. Just give it one more shot. God forbid. And even if it's a 1% chance, a 10% chance, you move on from him, you give Sanders the job, and then Watson goes somewhere else and revitalizes his career. You're going to add insult to injury to insult because, you know, letting Baker Mayfield go, the Watson move, even if it's a small chance, make sure he's got nothing left. Be sure that, you know what, let's put a team around him. Maybe we're better at the skill guys, and let's give him one more shot. And you can always go. It's easier to go from older to younger, Matt. I feel like, you know, you can go Watson and then it doesn't work. You bring in the younger guy as opposed to starting the younger guy and going back to the older guy. But yeah, Watson probably, you know, 60-40, I would say, to start. And then if it doesn't, which it probably won't, you go to Sanders. But who knows? Maybe the Browns a little bit, always pretty good on defense, especially at home. Maybe a little better at the skill guys, and maybe you get a half-decent season under a new coach here from Cleveland. Not that I'm optimistic about it.
About the first preseason game, I laid Browns minus one here. Like I said, it's up to 3 or 3.5. You got a new coach, Todd Monken. You got a quarterback competition. You also had that with the Raiders last night, and that didn't work out with the Raiders as 1-point favorites. That's what I laid, and they closed also 3-point favorites last night. But, Will, when you handicap this first preseason game, we don't know what Deshaun Watson's going to look like tomorrow. You're just guessing. But the Bears have a bunch of injury concerns, bunch of guys out, and Tyson Bagent's going to be the main quarterback for the Bears. Did you jump on the Browns here like most people in the betting market, or did you pass?
I did. I bet Browns. I gave it out Sunday on VSiN at +1.5. When John Jastrzemski and I were talking about the preseason, the lines had just popped up. I said, that's the one that jumps out to me. First off, I like taking 1.5 because games tie, games land on 1. 1.5 is kind of a sneaky key number. I liked what you said, the quarterback competition, and I liked the new coach angle. So a lot added up to me at +1.5, and that number's moved. So could buy back and take 3. I saw some 3.5s pop up. 3 is not as key in the preseason, but something I'll at least keep in mind. Probably not going to get out both sides of the game, but at least possibly consider betting both sides of the game. Not a bad way to approach it. By the way, Jets and Bucks, it looks like, man, football is definitely back when you have a team that botches a chance to down the ball at the 1-inch line and they somehow act like they've never seen a football or never practiced it before, and it bounces into the end zone for a touchback. But back-to-back interceptions for the Jets, one for a touchdown and one that leads to a punt. Jets will take over. Little under 6 minutes left in the first half, Matt.
Bailey Zappi's second interception there was deflected. It was not a good throw, but it was deflected off the receiver's hands. Bucks pick it up, but they could not capitalize and had to punt in Jets territory. 5:44 to go before the half. Tampa Bay and the Jets tied at 10. Battle between a couple of bad teams there. More NFL preseason updates, more handicapping when Mark Lawrence joins the show. Stay tuned to the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
NFL preseason updates. Miami Dolphins trailing now the Washington Commanders 10-7. Tampa Bay and the Jets tied at 10. Broncos up 17-0 on the Atlanta Falcons. Mark Lawrence does a great breakdown, very in-depth breakdown of the NFL preseason in his newsletter, PlaybookSports.com. Every year, he's been part of the Circuit Friday Football Invitational, former Stardust Invitational champ, and you can follow him at Mark Lawrence. Great to have him back on this season. Mark, how was your summer, and are you jumping into the NFL preseason tonight?
I was going to jump into the pool, Matt, but I had to get ready for this weekend. So, but I am ready for the football. I'll say that. Yes, I am. Thank you.
What are some of the angles that you like to look at every year in the NFL preseason? Like I said in your newsletter, you had so much information in there. I didn't know where to start and where to stop. But I know you have a lot of information on coaches. And one of the coaches who's been the worst in the preseason is Dan Quinn of the Commanders. Tonight, the Dolphins and Commanders playing in D.C. and Washington up 10-7 right now.
Yeah, we'll see how that finishes out. I know Quinn doesn't really care about the preseason, Matt. That's evidence in his win-loss record. I don't know what Miami will win this game, but I don't want to back Quinn anytime during the preseason, especially when there's coaches out there that do play to win.
Which coaches do you think are bet on coaches in the preseason based on the chart you put together? And John Harbaugh is obviously near the top of the list, if not at the top of the list, right?
He's absolutely the top of the list. You know, even though as good as he's been the last 9 games in the preseason, he was only 3-5-1 to the spread.
Right.
Sort of, they had to send a detective out to find out what was going on. But he'll be good with the New York Giants. He'll want to assert himself. He'll want to establish a winning program there. And I like him real well in this game here tomorrow night.
Well, let's talk about that game a little bit, Mark, because it changes when the Vikings announce that Kyler Murray is the starting quarterback. So there's not a competition for that number one job now. Murray is the guy, not J.J. McCarthy. Giants are 2.5-point dogs in the Meadowlands tomorrow night against the Vikings, and you do like the Giants as home dogs. What are the reasons?
Well, one is what we just talked about, John Harbaugh. I know he wants to set the table the right way in this football game. I think Kyler Murray playing and being announced the number one quarterback, you know, there's not an urgency, as much of an urgency for him right now going into this game as there would be if McCarthy was breathing behind his back. And I think they're going to end up treating the fans of New York to a victory here in this football game. I look for them to come up pretty big in this football contest.
Mark, any thoughts on the Cleveland Browns? You have a new coach and you have a quarterback competition. That should be a positive play-on type of angle. And the Bears have a bunch of injury concerns going into this game. We've seen money in the market on the Browns, now 3-point favorites at Chicago.
Well, you know, I would look at Cleveland. I just hate laying money on the road with a bad football team, but we're not talking right. about the football team. We're talking about a preseason game here. What's unusual here is both two teams that you mentioned here, Cleveland and the Browns and the Bears, they led the league in turnovers last year, Matt, and that almost always points to dramatic reversals in win totals the next year, production at least. The Bears were the worst. The Browns were the second worst. And I'm going to look for them to uptick this football season, if for no other reason, because they'll be on that path.
Mark Lawrence, PlaybookSports.com. Check out the magazine. Great job on that again this year. And you got the newsletters out for the NFL preseason. One more game I want to hit you up on Saturday is Rams-Chiefs. It's Sean McVay, typically a coach who doesn't care much about the preseason. And sometimes you can say the same thing about Andy Reid. But the Rams do have an interesting thing going on here, Mark, and that's the battle for the number two job behind Matthew Stafford, and that's between Stetson Bennett and Ty Simpson, the first-round pick out of Alabama. Is that enough to bet the Rams? Or what do you see in that matchup between the Rams and the Chiefs on Saturday afternoon in Kansas City?
Well, you hit a good point there. I don't think McVay has played a starting quarterback at all in the preseason, maybe even in his career. So, you know, we're going to see backups for the Rams here, and you'll probably see Bennett first because he has experience. And then Simpson, the rookie, I think will get his shake probably second game and see where it goes. Andy Reid has to obviously look for a backup quarterback here because I think it's going to go right down to the wire whether or not Mahomes starts the season or not. I don't want to start him and put him out there and let him get hurt. I think it's going to be real interesting here. But I do not like the Rams any way, shape, or form in the preseason here simply because McVay does not care.
McVay does not care. But he might care about that backup quarterback competition between Bennett and Simpson. I think that's one of the few things McVay might care about in the preseason. Mark Lawrence, you're in South Florida. I'm curious, what are your observations on the Dolphins? New quarterback, new coach there, too, with Jeff Hafley and Malik Willis. Do you like it or don't like it, what you're seeing in Miami?
Well, I could tell you this, that the players all really like Jeff Hafley. He come in and he won them over. And they're busting right now. You know, when you do training camp down here, you're doing it under extreme conditions. It's 95 degrees and 90% humidity, and they just bust, and they're busting for this guy. I think Miami's going to have a whole new look here. Obviously, the receivers are gone. You're going to see a lot of A-chain at running back here. I think he's going to have an outstanding year at A-chain. He'll lead the brigade here for this team. They're going to be a running team. And I would say you might want to look at him to maybe look at the rushing title this year because he'll have the ball in his hands a lot this football season.
All right, Mark, let's get to some season win totals here. I love this one. The Patriots under, I think, Super Bowl hangover, offseason distractions, tougher schedule, where it's a little too trendy, but just because it's trendy doesn't mean it's not going to win. What are you thinking here with the defending AFC champions?
Well, you got a lot of those check marks that you just talked about that you like to have in your corner when you're taking them out to an under. You can also look at Mike Vrabel and what he's done. He has this propensity for keeping games close to the vest. He won 8 games last year by single score margins. That was the most of the National Football League. And in his career, he's won 63% of his games by one score margins. So I don't think there's going to be anything different coming out of Vrabel. Whether or not he'll be there for the full season remains to be seen. But I love playing against Super Bowl losers the next year. They just keep delivering the goods. And New England, they were the most improved team in the league last year. They were plus 11.5 net game net wins. They're going to crash back to earth. I think that's a super play. And I like it. The number grew from where it opened, and I'll be right there waiting in line for it to grow again.
Another one that's been pretty popular, but it's hard to disagree. The Saints, a pretty favorable schedule. I know the rookie receiver got banged up today, which you don't like to see, but give me your thought or two here on the New Orleans Saints. The over-under is 7.5 wins.
You know, look at what they did last year, the way they closed. It was really, really nice. I think they won, I could be wrong, either 5 of the last 6 football games, and they covered the spread 5 of the last 6 times, but they won the stats soundly in every football game. Tyler Shugger is really coming on as a professional quarterback here. I think he's going to end up having an outstanding football season this year, and that division is wide open. There's nobody in that division that anybody fears of each other. I think this will be the New Orleans Saints year this season. I think they'll win that division, and they'll get over the 7.5 wins.
Mark Lawrence, PlaybookSports.com. We're talking mostly NFL here so far, but Mark, I did want to wrap it up with college football. That's a big part of your preseason magazine. Give me a couple teams that you like and a couple teams you don't like in college football.
Well, I'll tell you a sleeper team that I do like, Matt. I like the Florida Gators, and I like them this year because of John Summerall, their head coach. Just an outstanding job he did. He was probably the most sought-after group of six head coach in college football, and Florida wasted no time and spent a lot of money to bring him in, and they did so for the right reason. He was with he played 4 years at a group of six teams. He took those teams from losers to winners, and in fact, he took every one of them to a championship game each and every year he was there. This guy can coach, and the SEC had better watch out because Florida is going to make a lot of noise this football season. I think they're going to be a really, really good football team.
You know, Brian Edwards was on with us in the first hour tonight, and he's on Florida over 7.5. He likes the Gators, and he does not like Florida State. He's fading Florida State. Any other teams that you're looking to fade, Mark?
Well, I would agree with Brian on Florida State there as well. And people think here, you look at all the big boys here, I think we're going to end up seeing Ohio State and Texas in the championship game personally. And all you need to do is follow the money. The money takes you to the playoffs and it takes you to the championship game. And no team spend more money this year than those two teams. I think they're going to be the two teams to watch this football season here. As far as disappointments go, you hate to see that because you're looking for somebody to break down and not be who they're supposed to be. And you could be dead wrong after the first month of the football season. So I like to focus on the guys I think that can be the surprises. And that heads the list with the Florida Gators this year.
Well, we are going to see the Buckeyes and the Longhorns play early in the season in September. And Mark Lawrence says we're going to see them play late to wrap up the season as well. Mark, great catching up with you. And again, check out the Playbook Sports Preseason Magazine. Great job on that again as well.
Thank you so much, Matt. You guys be well, stay safe, and enjoy the games.
All right, that's Mark Lawrence, thanks, PlaybookSports.com out of South Florida. Will Hill, let's get a quick baseball update here, and we'll talk some NFL after the break. But what's going on around the world of MLB?
Yanks and Jays scoreless here in the top of the fifth. So the Yankees, it feels like every time you turn on one of these Yankee games, Matt, it's scoreless in the fourth, fifth, sixth inning. It's just hard for them to score. And they don't give up many runs because they got pretty good pitching. So 0-0 there, top of the fifth with two outs, George Lombard at the plate. And I know you are sweating out the Jets first half as they've got it basically in the red zone here with 25 seconds left. So when you come back, we will find out if Matt Youmans cashed his first half bet on the Jets and the Bucks.
I think we got a pass interference call at the 1 yard line with 18 seconds to go. By the way, the Pirates all over the slumping Red Sox, 7-2. Top of the sixth in Pittsburgh, and the White Sox lead the Tigers 8-3 in Detroit. Quick break, back in a couple here on Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
College football season's almost here, and betting it blind is a bad idea. Get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide free with VSiN Pro. It has previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, best bets, and more. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL Betting Guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and try it all today for just $9.99. Lock in a full year and save 50% with the VSiN Pro annual subscription, VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, we got an update on this preseason game in New York. Jets get a field goal right before the half to go up 13-10. Now, it looked like there was going to be pass interference penalty at the 1 yard line, but the pass was tipped. Just barely tipped at the line of scrimmage, so no PI. Jets go nowhere, but they do attempt a field goal before the half. And, Will, you and I are watching this field goal, and it looks to me like it sails over the right upright, and I thought it was going to be no good. The two officials looked at each other. I don't think they had a clue, and they both said, all right, it's good. What did you think? The Jets get credit. They go up 13-10 and a half, but I don't know if that kick was good.
And I don't know the procedure for reviewing field goals. I mean, it's that I've never seen a review of a field goal, whether it's good or not. We've seen them review plenty of things, but that's one I think you just go with whatever's on the field. That, man, I guess there's not enough to overturn it because The ball does go over the upright, but man, if you were just, if we had a live market for what are they going to call this, good or no good, as the ball is, you know, sailing off the foot and eventually over, and they say through the upright, I probably would have laid $2 if that was no good. That did not look like a good field goal, but the points count, and that does matter from a betting perspective, not just, you know, what it does to the game. But the Jets team total for the first half was 12, so that's a tough one if you had the under 12. Tough way to lose, but it's going to be 13-10 Jets at half. I would think, that did not look like a good field. I got to be honest, that did not look like a good field goal, but I'm not sure preseason, first half, the rules on reviewing field goals, I'm not sure they review it, but that really did not look like a good kick.
Yeah, depending on what number you laid here in the first half of the Jets, you could probably catch a break there. You could have laid 2.5, 3, 3.5, 4. Jets closed 4 in the first half, 5 in the game, 5.5 in the game, and they are now up 13-10 at half. But I didn't think that kick was good, but it counts. And not the first questionable call I've seen in the last 24 hours in the NFL. Broncos blowing out the Falcons in Atlanta right now. It's 24-0 Broncos, and strong betting action on both sides of that game all week. Jets 3-point lead at the half, and Commanders were down 7-0 early to the Dolphins, and now it's 17-7 Washington. So that's your update in the NFL as we speak. By the way, Mark Lawrence was with us, and we were talking about the Chiefs hosting the Rams in the preseason on Saturday. And a couple things to talk about with these teams. Well, I believe Sean McVay has been a fade in the preseason almost every year. But, you know, you could kind of say the same thing about Andy Reid. Reid doesn't take the preseason too seriously. So you got a couple of bet against coaches going head-to-head in this game. Does it mean more to the Rams because they have a quarterback competition here for the number two spot between Stetson Bennett, the former Georgia pro, or is it Ty Simpson, the first-round draft pick out of Alabama? I think that's the main thing Sean McVay wants to probably pull from the preseason is who's going to be my number two quarterback. Is it going to be Bennett or is it going to be Simpson? And Stetson Bennett's the veteran. He's going to start tomorrow. I think he's going to be the favorite for number two. I don't know if that's enough to bet the Rams as underdogs, but Will, did you look at that game between the Rams and the Chiefs on Saturday?
Yeah, and had the same thought process that you just laid out. Is it enough to bet? No. When in doubt, I'd probably just take the 2.5 because, again, that 2.5 is such a key number where, first off, it's probably a low-scoring game, 36.5, as we are seeing a little more scoring in these games tonight. I think all three of these games kind of trending towards the over. Yeah, I mean, I would take it before I would lay it, but I'm probably not going to bet it. And, man, if you're going to spend a 15th pick in the draft for a win-now team, the short shot to win the Super Bowl, you're going to spend that on a quarterback, and he can't even win forget starting job. We know he's not going to be the starter. He can't even win the backup job. That's an ominous sign for your pick. I think that pick could be questioned regardless, and a lot of other needs, receivers, some other positions, the Rams, who are completely a win-now team, could have addressed, but nothing I'm betting, and again, would probably lean towards taking the 2.5 here, but I don't know. Are you betting this? Doesn't sound like you're going to lay it with the Chiefs, are you?
I have not bet it yet. May end up playing the Rams. I don't know what I'm going to do here, but behind Patrick Mahomes, who's not going to play in this game, you got Justin Fields, pretty good backup situation. Garrett Nussmeier from LSU, and Chris Oladokun, who's been on this Chiefs preseason rotation every year. Really never does squat. I can't believe he's still on the KC roster, but he's basically like a preseason quarterback. You wanted a trivia question for me early. I'll give you one now. So behind Matthew Stafford, Stetson Bennett, and Ty Simpson is Matthew Caldwell, the number four quarterback for the Rams. Where did Matthew Caldwell play last year?
You're going to get me. I don't know that one. Where did he play last year? I'll say, because you phrased it that way, I'll say he played in like the CFL or something, but I don't know. It doesn't sound right.
Yeah, you're not going to get this one. Matthew Caldwell played for Texas last year. He was Arch Manning's backup, and he threw only 11 passes the entire season. He came in the Mississippi State game. I don't know if you remember this. He threw the game-winning touchdown pass in overtime against Mississippi State. Matthew Caldwell, 11 pass attempts last year for the Longhorns. He's the number four quarterback for the Rams. We're going to hear from Andy Reid talking about Patrick Mahomes here in a minute. You know, Mark Lawrence mentioned that he's not sure if Mahomes is going to start the season. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Mahomes, I watched some of training camp this week on NFL Network out of Kansas City, and Mahomes is doing everything out there in the field. He looks, except taking hits, obviously, but I think Mahomes looks good. He's going to be ready to roll, and I don't think there's any doubt he's going to be out there in that opening Monday night against the Broncos. You agree?
Yeah, and I believe the market agrees, and there are some places you can bet this. Who'll be the opening day quarterback? I don't have these in Connecticut, but I heard them cited on another show. I forget if it was a numbers game or follow the money. And Mahomes was basically unbettable. It was like minus 1,000, minus 1,200. So barring a setback, barring some injury or something unforeseen, Mahomes is a massive, massive favorite to be under center week one. He said, you know, he was on track to play. He's been way ahead of schedule. And he's, look, these A-plus elite athletes recover faster than everybody else. So he's on track to certainly exceed, you know, the thoughts that, what was it, last December when he got hurt? It looks like he's way ahead of progress. Mahomes, I would expect to be the starter here.
Yeah, I never really doubted that. When he went down, I said, that's the type of guy he's going to be back for week one. You could, I would bet on it then, and there's no doubt I would bet on it now, but he's not going to play much at all in the preseason, definitely not going to play in this week one game against the Rams in Kansas City on a Saturday. Here's Andy Reid talking about Mahomes and his recovery.
The guys do it at a different pace and rehab. And if I could put one sign in there, it'd be attack the rehab. Yeah. If you go about it that way,
right,
normally good things happen. And let the experts, the trainers and physical therapists now that we have on staff, let them make that decision of when to pull off. And you just work. And that's what Pat does. He comes in every day. And he challenges it and challenges it and challenges it. And then he shows up. He stacks the days. And, you know, my hat goes off to the kid for the discipline of that.
Andy Reid talking about Mahomes. And he will, barring any sort of setback in the preseason here in August, he is going to start that week one game against the Broncos. All right, Will, we'll get back to the NFL here in a few moments. Let's get some updates in baseball. And we do have a score. We had a home run by the Yankees. What happened?
I didn't see it because it's on Apple TV, so you'll have to tell me. But okay, Finally, we get a little offense here. Who hit it for the Yanks?
I believe it was Trent Grisham homered and put the Yankees up 1-0 here. They're two outs, top of the sixth, so we do have a score in Toronto with Luis Garcia at the plate. By the way, the Cleveland Guardians have fallen behind the Padres 5-3 in Cleveland. That's in the bottom of the fifth. Will, what else in baseball do you have your eyes on right now?
Now you mentioned you can say the Red Sox were due to cool off. You could also say maybe they peaked a little bit too early, but they have not played well. It's funny. You and I were sitting next to each other. I was there a week ago. They were beating up on the A's. The Red Sox couldn't lose. The A's couldn't win. The A's ended up beating them the next 2 days. And the Red Sox have continued that poor play into this week, lost some games in Toronto, and are losing again in Pittsburgh. I keep waiting for Pittsburgh to maybe make a run. I like their pitching. I like some of their talent, but they just can't seem to put it together. I know Chris Massaro and I are not a fan of that manager. But 7-2, this would be a second win in a row. That final wild card spot, sort of like the final wild card spot in the American League. If you can get hot, you can make a run. So we'll see if the Pirates can do that. But Boston, you can make the case. You know, truth is usually somewhere in the middle. When you're red hot, you're not as good as that. When you're ice cold, you're not as bad as that. So Red Sox certainly showing a little bit of a correction here after their red hot July.
The Red Sox have definitely regressed here in the past week, but that's the way baseball goes when we talk about betting on streaks, not against streaks. And Red Sox, as hot as they were, they have gone cold suddenly. The White Sox up 8-4 on the Tigers in Detroit. Fairly important game for those teams. And also, the D-backs up 1-0 on the Braves. Mariners up 2-1 on the Astros. That's your baseball update. We'll get back to the NFL after a quick break here on Primetime.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, VSiN is on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. We have 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off in a fantasy football style snake draft hosted by the Big Swede, and every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown you can use. Win totals, division winners, player props, stat leaders. Last year's competitors are all back for round two, joined by three newcomers stepping into the Futures draft room for the first time. former NFL wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson, comedian and sports commentator Nick Bakay, and the guru John Hansen are going to join 10 VSiN hosting this draft. Don't just watch the Futures Draft, profit from it. Tune in Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Well, we did this last year, and I had the most winners in the draft. I went 6-4, but I finished second overall to Patrick Maher, who hit a 15-1 shot, I believe, on Jonathan Taylor to have the most rushing touchdowns in the wow. NFL, and he just barely beat me for the title. But Patrick Maher finished first. I was second. I believe Tim Murray was third, and Super Dave Ross was fourth. And all of those hosts are back in this Futures Draft, in addition to Keyshawn Johnson, Nick Bakay, and John Hansen. So that's going to be Thursday, August 20th here on VSiN. I know Nick, or let's see, Tim Murray and I will be down at the D with JVT and Stormy. And here in studio might be Nick Bakay. I know Keyshawn Johnson's going to be in studio. I believe it's going to be Keyshawn, Dustin Sweetelson, and Mitch and Paul. So that's Thursday. Will, you're not a part of this draft, unfortunately. You'd be a strong competitor if you were. We've got only so many spots available, I guess. But if you had one of the first picks, which NFL future, division, win total, player prop, what would be near the top of your list in terms of what you wanted to draft in the first round or the second round?
It's a great question. I'm high on the Vikings. I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but I wrote this up for Fox Sports. I just think the more you look at it, I know they lost some defenders. Flores is always going to put a top 10-ish defense on the field. Mm-hmm. And when you look at last year when they had Max Brosmer, Carson Wentz, and J.J. McCarthy, about as bad a quarterback play as you can have, and they still went 9-8. I think there's a lot of talent at the skill guys, defense. I think I don't care how low you are on Kyler Murray. That's an upgrade and a big one at quarterback. As long as he can stay healthy, he's in a good position. So the Vikings, a little over 5-1 to win the division is one I really like. And I'll be watching the Futures Draft. I'll be listening. I just hope, as someone who watched it last year, I just hope Dustin Sweetelson can give us more updates and recap the picks more. I don't think he did that often enough last year, and I think you would agree with that, right?
That draft took way too long last year with Dustin constantly recapping picks, and hopefully he learned from his mistakes last year. He also laughed and mocked my pick of the Broncos to win the AFC West.
I remember that.
How did that turn out?
Yeah,
the Broncos.
Well, I mean, you've seen his list of condiments. What was it, the hot dog toppings where he just really – and I know he served his suspension for that, so we don't want to keep bringing up old wounds, but his hot dog topping list was really something that was quite offensive. So, again, we move on from it, though.
Well, I just think he tries to troll people and get reactions with bizarre opinions on things. But when he laughed at my Broncos pick last year, I said, we'll see who gets the last laugh, and that was me. Anyway – the Pro Football Futures Draft is going to be Thursday, and it's going to be in the middle of the Follow the Money show with Mitch and Paul. So tune in to that next week, and looking forward to it. Keyshawn Johnson, Nick Bakay, and John Hansen, the new additions to the draft this year. All right, you and I are going to talk about the Vikings a little bit more in hour number three tonight. Let's talk about the Falcons right now, because I did bet the Falcons to win the NFC South at plus 425. A little bit discouraged by some of the developments here in the summer on that Falcons defense, a couple of key guys who are not going to be there. Pass rush is going to be short-circuited, and the quarterback play is a big question mark because Michael Penix is coming off an ACL surgery. Penix should be ready to go in week one if he gets enough work here in the preseason, which I don't know if that's going to happen. Tua started tonight, and Tua has not looked good. I would say Tua has not looked very good in camp or into tonight's game. 3 for 5, 22 yards, did not make much happen. Cooper Rush came in, threw a couple of picks for the Falcons. Let's hear Kevin Stefanski, new coach of the Falcons, talk about his quarterback competition.
I think a lot about the calendar, and I think about the offseason program is about laying a foundation, mm-hmm. So specifically to the quarterback position. For Mike Penix and Tua, this was learning a new system for our guys. So laying the foundation of the new system, understanding that. When you get to training camp, now it's about really building through your installs, finding out what your players do best. We're just now entering week one of the preseason with this game on Friday night. Obviously, Tua is going to play in that game, and I think that's great to get game action with our guys. We'll go to Indy next week, which is awesome for us because we get to practice twice versus a very good Colts team. Then I start to think you've learned more about your team, particularly the quarterback position. And I think that comes from reps on the field. That also comes from what you're doing in the meeting room and what you're doing at walkthroughs and your understanding the whole thing. I will say this, where we are at this moment with the quarterback position in mind, I would tell you they've knocked it out of the park. Mm. From a preparation standpoint, these guys are on top of it, learning the new system, understanding what's important on each given play. So I'm very pleased with where we are. I just know in the calendar where we are, we're not yet there yet in terms of naming somebody a starter.
Devin Stefanski should be a coaching upgrade for the Falcons. Should be a significant coaching upgrade. Talk about his quarterbacks, Tua and Michael Penix. And I was hoping that Penix would take the reins, take charge, take control of that job. I think he's got to gain some confidence in his rebuilt knee. Before that happens, I read some comments from him this week. I think eventually Penix is going to be the guy, but it could be Tua to start the season. It was Tua to start the game tonight. And, Will, over the summer when we looked at the NFC South, I think the reason I made that bet when I looked at the Panthers, Bucks, Saints, and Falcons is that the Falcons plus 425 I thought was mispriced. They're a little bit too much of a long shot there. I don't like much about the Panthers. I don't like a whole lot about the Bucks. I think the Saints have become the chic pick. Everybody likes the Saints now, I believe, to win the NFC South. Do you agree?
I do agree. A little too trendy for me. Mm-hmm. Just because it's trendy doesn't mean it's going to win. I get it. Soft schedule, played well at the end of last year, but so did Atlanta. And I actually had Atlanta. I took them right around Thanksgiving. I was having a good week betting all the college basketball little tournaments. I said, you know what? Let me waste a little money. I'll make a donation. I think it was 125 on Atlanta to 125-1 on Atlanta to win the division. They had to win out and basically get some help. They immediately lost to the Jets, a game they never should have lost. And then everything from that point forward that needed to happen happened. And mm-hmm. the only reason I lost that bet was that stupid loss to the Jets. So I'm with you. I like their talent. I don't care what you think of Stefanski. That's a huge upgrade over what they had last year. Raheem Morris, who was completely just in over his head, not a head coach, didn't know how to use the clock, timeouts. It just Stefanski, they'll be better coached. Tua, I've never been a big fan, but at least he'll be outdoors less. He's not going to New England. He's not playing at the Jets. He's not playing at the Bills. He's indoors in Atlanta for his home games. Then his road games are Carolina and Tampa and the Saints. So he's a little more, you know, you got to protect Tua outdoors in the cold. We've all seen how that goes, and we at least get him away from that. I guess he didn't look good tonight. I haven't watched that game. We're doing the show, but I'm with you. I think Atlanta would be the team I would pick here. Little concerned with the suspension with Pierce, little concerned with the Jalen Walker injury, but that would still be my bet considering the price and all things considered with the rest of what's in that division.
Yeah, it's right now I would go with the Saints in that division. There's a few concerns about the Falcons, but I did like the price on the Falcons over the summer. They're going to have to find a way to replace a couple of key guys on that defense. Some bad news early in over the summer for that Atlanta defense. By the way, watching this Bucks-Jets game, and again, the Jets were up 10-0 early. Bailey Zappe threw a pick six, typical Jets thing to do. But right before the half, the Jets made a field goal. I didn't think it was good.
Did they?
You didn't think it was good. And no. We are judging by the reaction on Twitter. Not many people thought this field goal was good. And the two officials looked at each other and just like, okay, yeah, it counts. The officiating in the last 24 hours in the NFL has bothered me again. And I'm sure it bothers a lot of people. How about we got a couple of tweets here. And this one's from Raheem Palmer. Quote, there's absolutely no way the kicker in that Jets-Buccaneers game made that field goal. If they review all scoring plays, how isn't that one reviewed? And we got another tweet from Eric Nathan who says, quote, the officials in the Jets-Bucs game just called a field goal good that appeared to have gone wide by 25 yards. Now, that's a major exaggeration. Will, I think it might have gone wide by about a yard or, two at the most. But it did look like it sailed just outside that right upright, and I did not think that kick was good, but it counts. How is that not reviewable?
I'd have to go back and look at the rule, and maybe this is something I should know. If it goes directly over the upright, does that count? Is that a good field goal? I've never seen that exact kick where
that's supposed to count.
It's
yes.
Fading one way, and at best it went over it. There's no way it went inside of it. At best, it was kind of even with it.
By the way, we were talking about the Falcons. Edge rusher James Pierce Jr. got in some trouble over the summer. He's suspended for the club's first 8 regular season games without pay for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. And there's some more bad news for that Falcons defense as well. And the Falcons getting blown out by the Broncos 24-0 tonight. Back with the final hour of primetime on the Sports Betting Network.